Well, it's amazing to be back in British Columbia. Those of you that don't know me would not know that I'm a British Columbian, born and bred. I was born in Abbotsford back in 1961, so that makes me old. You're allowed to say that. But on a beautiful day like this, I'm reminded of why this is really just one of the greatest places in all the world to live. Amen? Beautiful British Columbia, supernatural, all of that. I totally get that, and I understand once we moved out to Ontario back in 1995, why people kind of looked at me strange and say, why would you ever want to leave such a beautiful place for Ontario? But I want you to know that God called us there, and we've been privileged to serve him there through these number of years. When I think about this wonderful occasion, and I know this doesn't come together without a lot of hard work and a lot of folks involved as a team, and you've certainly worked hard for not only today, but tomorrow, this weekend. And 18 years, my goodness, do you realize how much changes in 18 years? When you started, I think that would have been pre-9/11, okay? And email was still a thing back in 2001, right? We didn't have smartphones, all right? So a lot of things have changed, but over this weekend, what I want to emphasize from God's word for you starting today is to just really highlight some things that haven't changed and to talk about some things that even though technology's advanced, even though there's a lot of differences in our world today from what we knew them 18 years ago, that there's some things that still work today. And I want to begin with this thought and topic this afternoon or this morning. That the gospel still works. Amen. And I want to read for you a couple of passages. We'll have a brief moment of prayer, and then we'll just dive right into the material today. But in Romans chapter 1, verse number 14, the Apostle Paul writes, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, if you're not familiar with that term gospel, or maybe you're just vaguely familiar with that, I just want to refresh your thinking on that to understand that the gospel actually has a definition. God's word defines the gospel for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul wrote, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that's the gospel in a nutshell. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And really understanding that gospel and partaking in the power of that gospel involves a personal decision that you and I must make in our lives. And so I want to talk a little bit about that as we have time here this morning. So let's go ahead and just bow our heads and our hearts together in prayer at this moment. Father, we thank you for what you've done here over the years at Anchor Baptist Church. We thank you for Pastor Turner and his leadership and the staff here and all the wonderful folks. And Lord, we're mindful this is an important time, Lord, not only in our lives but and those that are members here of the church, but Lord, any of those folks that have come in, they're guests today, and we thank you for each and every one of them. And Lord, I don't know the standing spiritually of any individual here today. Lord, you alone know that. And so if there's anyone that has not yet received, been a partaker of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if they do not know that their sins are forgiven and that heaven's their eternal home, I pray that before we're done today, Lord, before we're through, that that message will impact and make a difference in their lives, and that, Lord, they would be convinced that they need to make that personal decision once and for all for themselves, Lord. And so we give you the glory for what you accomplish in our lives now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to know something. In 2019, that old gospel still works. It still works. And in fact, it's a message that separates Bible-believing Christianity from all other religion. Why? Because religion, a Baptist or whatever it is, oftentimes a religion says do this and do that. And it's all about your works, and if you can be good enough, if your bad works can somehow, or your good works can somehow outweigh your bad works at the end of the day, at the end of the equation, that God will have to let you into heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And the gospel is not about doing things; it's understanding that something's already been done for us. And when Jesus hung on that old cross at Calvary, before he gave up the ghost, the Bible said he uttered these words: "It is finished." It is finished. In other words, what Jesus did on Calvary's cross for you is absolutely sufficient. There's not another thing that needs to be added to that in order that we could be saved. And it's that gospel message, that same gospel message that transforms lives. It's the gospel that people, actually believers through the centuries, have been willing to give their lives for. They've literally laid down their lives and they have died as martyrs for this gospel message that we're presenting here this afternoon. And it reminds me that whatever you're living for, I don't know what you're living for today, but whatever you're living for, really it ought to be worth dying for. And the gospel is one of those things. And so I want to talk a little bit. Paul in our text talk about how that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the power of God. The power of God unto salvation. That word power is dunamis in the Greek. It literally means we get our words dynamic and dynamite right out of that same word. And it just speaks to the power, the authority, and the ability that comes with the gospel. I mean, if you grew up on the farm like I did, I remember out in the country, and my dad bought property off in the boonies. And we would have to sometimes on those properties dynamite stumps out. And you put the dynamite in at the base of the stump, make sure you're back a good distance. And man, a stump that was so reluctant that, I mean, you could have tractors and everything wrestling with that and trying to pull it out, and it would resist. That dynamite would do quick work. It'd blow that stump a mile high in the air, and you'd be done with your problem. And you know, as powerful as dynamite is, the gospel is that much more powerful in our lives. And it has, I want to say this to you this morning, it has supernatural power. Not natural, okay? It's not from a human viewpoint, a power that people can understand, but it's supernatural. And it changes lives. It reveals the righteousness of God. I think sometimes we don't understand who God is, really. How can we understand with our finite minds the infinite? God's revealed it in his word, but we still don't get it. And it's only the power of God through salvation that can bring that light to bear and to shine in our lives. And it reveals our sinfulness before that God. And it makes all the difference in the world. If you're saved today, that's true for you. We could talk about so many examples, even from the scriptures. Paul, who was once Saul of Tarsus, a man who hated Christians, he persecuted them, was once on a road to Damascus with letters in hand, waiting to arrest believers and have them incarcerated and perhaps even executed. And on that road, God revealed the supernatural power of the gospel to Saul, who became the great apostle Paul. The jailer in Philippi was ready to commit suicide when he realized Paul and Silas, those first missionaries, hadn't fled, nor had any of the other prisoners. And he, He realized there was something different about those men, and he cried out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So the gospel has that supernatural power. I mean, there's not a life that is so low down or so far gone that the gospel can't change it. Okay? That's the supernatural power of the gospel. Listen, in my short lifetime, and I say it's short because it goes by so quickly, 35 years ago, God called me to preach. But over those 35 years, you know what? I've seen murderers come to know Jesus as their Savior. I've seen atheists converted. Okay? I've seen drunkards and alcoholics come to know Jesus Christ. I've seen folks from all walks of life and all manner of different cultures and religions that are keeping them blinded to the truth of the gospel, gloriously converted by the power of this gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I'm saying that gospel still works. And if you're here today and you've not yet trusted Christ, that gospel will work for you. It really will. So it has that supernatural power, but the gospel also has what we would call saving power. It's not just the power of God, end of sentence. Paul says the power of God unto salvation. This is important to understand. It's not just the power of God to maybe help you turn over a new leaf in your life. It's not just the power of God to kind of rescue you out of a bad situation. Although we could say that's a deliverance, or that's the meaning of the term salvation. That's a salvation of sorts. You know, I look back on my life, and you know, there were times the Lord could have taken me home prematurely. I mean early. Even as a 9-year-old boy, I fell off a ladder retrieving a little glider off the second-story barn roof on the chicken farm I grew up on out in the valley. My mom watched me then turn around once I'd retrieved the plane and try and fly it across our yard. She watched all this from the kitchen window, and she watched me fall off that ladder 12 feet, land flat on my back, and just only had the wind knocked out of me. Praise the Lord, okay? And so that's a salvation. That's a deliverance. But, you know, you might have been saved from some tragic sort of circumstances or out of some really discouraging circumstances in your life. That's a deliverance. But that's not the greatest deliverance, and that's not the power of God unto the salvation that Paul's talking about. It's not merely a physical or temporal salvation, but it's eternal. Listen, the gratitude that you might feel if someone saved your life physically, it is many, many more times amazing what God has done through Jesus, giving His Son Jesus Christ, because He's delivered you and I from an eternity of suffering. Yes. He has delivered us once and for all by the blood of Jesus Christ. So it is supernatural power in this gospel, and it is saving power. And listen, if you don't know right now where you're going if you die, perish the thought that, but you know, we could die any moment. No man knows the day or the hour, really, when we're going to pass. Life is that fragile. Life is that fragile. Just ask the families of 12 people that were shot in Virginia yesterday. I mean, Virginia Beach. Okay? Life is fragile. You better know where you're going. There's nothing that can surpass the peace that comes from knowing where we're going to spend eternity when we die. Now, I'm like you. I'm not looking forward maybe to physical death. You know, there's millions of ways God could take us out. I can't think of too many good ways to go. Okay? And so I'm not looking forward to death. I'm not saying I've got this morbid curiosity about that. But I'll tell you what, I'm not afraid about what happens after because I know where I'm going. Not because I'm a good person, but because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it has that saving power. Thirdly, I want you to understand something. This gospel has selective power. Notice the phraseology in our verse that says, it's the power of God unto salvation to who? To everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. Now, here's the sad reality, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, young people this morning. Not everyone will be saved. Not everyone will be saved. I hate to think of that. But it's the reality, it's the truth. Not everyone will believe and receive this gospel. Paul said later in the book of Romans, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Why is that? Because, you know, there's the prince of power of darkness. There's the god of this world, who's Satan, who blinds people's hearts. Why is that? It's because of our own human pride. You know, somehow we think we know better than God. We want to reject the authority of God's word today and say, you know what? I'll just go by my feelings. I'll just go by what someone else has said. I'll just go by another authority. But the fact is, at the end of the day, this is the only authority that will count, because we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. However, when we think that not everyone's going to be saved, it's not because God doesn't desire that you'd be saved. God's not willing that any should perish. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm so glad that back in July of 1977, when I trusted Christ as a 15-year-old boy, that I could, you know, look at whosoever and understand that meant Brian Thiessen. That if I would if I would call upon the name of the Lord for that salvation, I could be saved. And so the gospel has that selective power. Although God desires everyone to be saved, you know, God's not a bully when it comes to this. Okay? God's not going to force you or me or anyone else to be saved. God and His Holy Spirit is a gentleman. God gently knocks on the door of your life and on your heart's door. It says, if any man, if any woman would hear my voice, hey, I'll come in, and then I'll have fellowship with them, and they'll have fellowship with me. And so I want you to understand something. God's not willing that you be lost. Are you willing that you'd be saved? Are you willing to say, you know what, enough of my pride and enough of my own way and enough of doing it the way that I perceive things, it's time for me to humble myself and just say yes to God. Yes to Jesus Christ. Yes to this gospel. You know, so there's a difference between what's potential and what actually happens. The fact that you potentially can be saved does not mean that's automatically going to happen. You have to do something about it. You have to make a decision. You know, potentially, I could have chosen a number of different career paths for my life. When I grew up, like any other Canadian kid, you know, I wanted to be a hockey player. I grew up back in the era of Bobby Orr Phil Esposito and Gordie Howe and all that, and I envisioned myself being this great hockey player one day. And I guess, you know, by the time I hit 40 years of age, I guess I had to realize and admit that the dream was dead, okay? So while that, I could have dreamed and think that would be potential, in actual fact, I never became a professional hockey player, okay? God had something else for my life. But I'm saying to you, you know, don't just rest in the fact that, well, it's potential, it's there for me. You know, that's kind of a nice idea, and it makes you feel warm and fuzzy. But then to turn around at the end of the day and you never actually do anything about it. That would be a tragedy beyond tragedies. You don't want to go down that road. You know, Jesus, even on the cross, he prayed about for those that persecuted him and spat in his face and mistreated him. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, now, they still had to receive his forgiveness. But Jesus expressed there on the cross how he was willing and ready and asking his Father that he might forgive everyone that treated him and misjudged him. Potential versus actual. Sufficient versus efficient. You know, some wonder if the shed blood of Jesus Christ is actually sufficient to save them. And I want you to understand something. If I could put enough exclamations behind it, I mean, you couldn't write a book long enough to say how assured we are that his death on Calvary's cross is sufficient to save every one of us. But in 1 Timothy 4:10, we read that he is the Savior of all men, but especially of those that believe. So while it's sufficient for all, it only becomes efficient once you make your decision to trust him as Savior. So the gospel has supernatural power. I hope you get that today. It has saving power. We're talking about not salvation from some bad situation or a physical mishap, but we're talking about an eternal salvation. Forgiveness of sins. You know, so much so that when your sins are forgiven you and when my sins are forgiven me by Jesus, the Bible tells us that he's hid those things in the depths of the sea. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. And once you receive the salvation of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, God promised he'll never bring those sins up with you again. Amen. What a wonderful thing. He chooses to forget. When he could have justly and righteously held those things against us for all eternity. That's the salvation I'm talking about. And an eternal home in heaven. The gospel has that supernatural power, that saving power. It has selective power. So don't leave here today thinking you'll automatically be saved. It's an individual choice you must make. It only becomes efficient when you believe. But lastly, this morning, the gospel not only has all of that power, but the gospel has staying power. It is the power of God, present tense. It is the power of God unto salvation. You know, you say, well, the Bible's written 2,000 years ago. How can I know that that's true for today? I want you to understand something. God's word never changes. Okay? Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. So that gospel message, it still works today in this 21st century. Why? Because God is the same God. Okay? And his promises are the same promises. And you and I, as far as our spiritual needs are concerned, have the very same spiritual needs as people had 100 years ago, as they had 1,000 years ago, as they had 2,000 years ago in the days of Jesus. It's simply unchanging. The gospel is that steady and stabilizing reality in an ever-changing and confused world. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things. We look out at society and, man, people are changing all the time. The politicians can't seem to make up their mind about much of anything. We live in a world where the economies are uncertain. And there's just so much to confuse and bewilder us. But here's something that, you know, the name of this church is Anchor Baptist Church. And we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the ages roll. And that anchor is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is, present tense, in our day, the power of God unto salvation. And that means there's no changes. If it was free and it was by grace through faith alone yesterday, that's the same thing for us today. It is the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And when my Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2 that today, behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation, I like to believe that's true here on June the 1st, 2019, right here at Anchor Baptist Church, right here as we celebrate the 18th anniversary of this church, right here as this group is assembled together. And I hope you agree with me that the fact we're assembled together as we are today, And that I'm speaking to you today and I'm bringing a particular message to you today is not a coincidence. Okay, this is not just something that's orchestrated by men, but God had a design here. God brought you here to hear something. And listen, if you are not saved this very day, God would desire nothing more than for you to say, yes, you know what? I understand the fact that I'm a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's my only hope of salvation. We're not talking about a church being your hope of salvation. We're not talking about baptism being your hope of salvation. We're not talking about any good works that you can do being your hope of eternal life. We're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and that alone. And so there's no changes to that because this gospel has staying power. It will never change. You know, God's not going to offer you one salvation and pull the rug out from under it tomorrow, okay? You know, in our world, you know, we live in a world where people are contract and covenant breakers all around. But God is the great unchanging covenant and contract keeper. And he's staked his very name and his very word on this fact that the salvation he's offered to us is free and it's full. And it's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So there's no catches to it, by the way. The gospel plus nothing equals salvation. No catches. I mean, there's no fine print when it comes to the gospel. It's all right there in black and white, easy to understand, easy to receive. Okay? There's other things about the Christian life, to be sure, but they have nothing to do with our salvation. And there's no cancellations in it. You know, you can, how many of you have ever done this? I mean, you're savvy shoppers and you pick up coupons and you comb the flyers for special deals, only to march down to the store and have the merchant pull a fast one on you or say, you know what, that expired yesterday. It's no good anymore. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had a special offer, a special deal? You were excited about, maybe it was some electronic gadget, you know, maybe it was just something at the supermarket, whatever it was, and then you realize once you got there, the offer wasn't all that, and now it was no good, it was no longer in effect. Well, that's really disappointing, isn't it? But I'm telling you what, there's no cancellation. The gospel doesn't have a best before date. It doesn't have a cancellation date. It doesn't have an expiry date. And once you're saved, that's it, man. You're saved for eternity. And so, listen, as long, even as you and I have breath, this offer stands. As long as you're living and breathing, you say, well, you know what? You don't know my past. You don't know my story. No, I don't. But God does. And even a thief who hung beside Jesus on the cross, a man that the Bible says was guilty of certain crimes, hung there beside Jesus. Listen, he never had a chance to be baptized and join Anchor Baptist Church. He never had that opportunity. But he saw Jesus being crucified for crimes that he had not committed, an innocent man between two thieves. And that thief on that day, he looked at Jesus and he realized something. And he said, Lord, Lord, remember me. I know I'm a thief. I know that I'm a scourge on society. I know I'm nothing. But Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? What did Jesus say to that old thief? He said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. Jesus saved him. And Jesus wants to save you. Let's bow our heads once again. Word of prayer. We're going to conclude. Pastor Turner is going to come and extend a gracious invitation to you, giving you an opportunity maybe to do something, make a decision about what you've just heard, and I pray and trust that you will.